my name's Alex Donaldson, and I will be conducting this interview on behalf of the One Another Project and the Wellcome Trust.
Hi.
Hi. The date is the 16th of August 2009. Yeah. If you could please state your full name, your age, if that's okay, and where you're from.
Okay. My name's Martin Alcock. I'm from Stoke-on-Trent in Staffordshire, and I'm 48.
And how are you doing today?
I'm fine. I'm fine so far. I'm just really ready to get on with it.
So, if I can take you just briefly back to when you initially heard of the project.
Yes. I obviously, like a lot of people, I know quite a bit about the work of Anthony Gormley. I've got a friend who was sort of involved in the Fourth Plinth Project, some of the contributions that have been up there, like the Alison Lapper statue and some of the other stuff. So I've been interested, and when I heard about this and was aware that you could just apply to be on it, I thought, great, just go for it. Didn't hear anything for quite a while, so thought, oh well, fair enough. And then about a month ago, I got the email from yourselves saying, right, you're on.
Okay. And what was it initially that inspired you to put yourself forward?
I'm a show-off. I'm a former actor. I teach drama now. I've moved out of being a professional actor into being a lecturer in drama and theatre study. So I've always had that inherent sort of show-off gene, and the prospect of having a captive audience for an hour was just too good to miss, really, and to have the absolute freedom to do whatever you want. It was just great.
Okay. Can I ask you to talk a little bit about your acting? How long you've kind of been passionate about it, how long you were actually acted for?
Well, ever since, really honestly, ever since I can remember as a kid, as a very little kid, doing school plays, etc. There's a very lively amateur theatre scene up in Stoke-on-Trent, where I'm from. So grew up doing musicals, plays, all that kind of stuff. Went to uni, continued doing drama through uni, and was lucky enough to get a place at drama school after I finished my degree. Went to Mount View Theatre School up in North London. Was a professional actor for 4 years, which was great. Like a lot of people in the business, I did bits and pieces here and there, a bit of fringe theatre in London, Panto with Frank Bruno, little bit of tally, little bit of film work, lots of little bits and pieces here and there, but gradually kind of drifted into teaching, and been teaching now for 14 years, and I to be honest, I get more of a buzz now out of teaching than I did out of being a performer. It's really great sort of teaching, training other performers.
And what level is this at?
This is a big college of further education, so it's age 16 and ups. I teach BTEC qualifications, which is sort of like at GCSE, A-level, university entrance level, all that kind of stuff, and kind of basic sort of foundation level as well. So I teach really across the whole range of 16 pluses. And this year, when I go back to work in September, I'll be teaching a foundation degree for the first time. So it's like the full range of abilities and ages.
Okay, wow. So when you were actually acting, what kind of roles would you lean more towards?
I think even to look at me, I was never going to be anyone's idea of sort of a romantic lead. So I've always been a character actor, which is great. I love it. I really enjoy getting the character parts. Favourite parts that I've played, Fool in King Lear. A year or two ago, I was in a production back home in Stoke of The Lady in the Van by Alan Bennett, and I played Alan Bennett. So I had to do the full Alan Bennett voice, everything. I had to get into the whole character of Alan Bennett, and that wasn't the difficulty. The difficulty was getting rid of it afterwards. So I love character parts. What I'm doing on the plinth today is sort of a reflection of that. I really love comedy, I really love character work, that kind of stuff.
Okay, so can you tell me a little bit about what you're doing today?
There is no memorial anywhere in London to the guy who I think is the godfather of British comedy, post-war British comedy, which is Tony Hancock. Without Tony Hancock, there wouldn't have been any Alf Garnett in Till Death Us Depart, there'd have been no Basil Fawlty, there'd have been no Victor Meldrew, there'd have been no David Brent in The Office. Tony Hancock was the guy who sort of pushed British comedy sitcom towards drama. He's just one of those performers that people either really love or just don't get at all, and I've loved Hancock's work ever since I was a kid. Because Hancock died when I was about seven, so they started re-showing his shows on TV when I was a kid, and all I was aware of then was just this funny man with this funny face. And then, of course, you watch the stuff when you get older, you appreciate what a brilliant performer he was. So I'm not quite sure how, but I'm going to try and communicate some of that up on the plinth. I've tried thinking about what would it be like if the Hancock from The Blood Donor had just been plonked straight onto the plinth, completely misread the situation, not been happy with the way he's been looked after. If you've watched any of Hancock's or listened to any of his radio shows, Hancock is the perennial British misery gut. He is always complaining, somebody's always out to screw him or rip him off. And thus it is, I think, with what I think he's going to find himself doing on the plinth. He's just not happy with the way he's been sort of looked after. So we'll see. That's what I'm trying to get across.
And how exactly are you going to be portraying
him? Most people have got this picture of Hancock with the old black, long black coat, the Homburg hat. I'm actually, the look I've picked, because I couldn't find a Homburg hat or a long black coat, is the look from this most famous episode, The Blood Donor, which is kind of a very heavy camel overcoat, sort of pork pie hat kind of thing, which is going to be lovely in the sunny weather. I think I'm going to perspire a bit up there. But that's the kind of look, that famous look from that famous episode.
And can you tell me a little bit about him as an actor? What do you like in particular about his character?
There's been a lot written about Hancock, and a lot of it sort of dwells on the dark side, that he wasn't a very happy man. That he was, despite the fact being the most successful performer in the country, the guy who could empty the pubs when an episode of his was on, people would not go to the pub, they'd stay at home and watch Hancock. He was never happy with his success, because he felt he was always playing second fiddle to people like his writers, Galton and Simpson, greatest comedy writers I think have ever been, and to his co-stars, people like Sid James, Kenneth Williams, Hattie Jakes, Bill Kerr. He always felt that he was like the second string, and he wanted to be a completely solo act. He wanted to be Bob Hope. He wanted to be a big international Hollywood type star, and he wasn't. He was just, for me, the greatest British comedy actor that's been, and it was this permanent unhappiness, this permanent sort of wanting to edge everybody else out, that sort of led to his unhappiness and his other problems that led to his very unhappy death, suicide in Australia. Because towards the end, I think he realised that he'd edged out everybody who'd helped to make him successful, and his final shows that he recorded in Australia just show a guy who's lost it. So I don't like to think of that Hancock. I prefer to think of the Hancock at the height of doing what he was good at, which is an episode like The Blood Donor, an episode like The Radio Ham, and some of those brilliant radio shows. That's the Hancock I prefer to remember, rather than the Hancock in the very dark, unhappy days that he obviously had.
And how did he eventually die?
His career basically packed up in Britain, so the only offer open to him was to go and record a show in Australia. And he, as I said, he was just kind of, you see a man who's lost his timing, who's lost his energy as a performer in the films of the episodes. And I think it just twigged on him that he'd kind of lost it. And he already had a very bad alcohol problem. And it was basically a bottle of vodka and pills, and was found on his own, basically in the bedsit that he was renting in Australia, in Sydney, the family he was staying with. Very kind of sad, very lonely end for a guy who was absolutely at the top of his profession in his day.
And why do you think that there aren't any memorials to him?
I don't know. There's a lot of comedy stars who've got memoirs, like Kenneth Williams has got one. I don't know, he was an awkward sod. He alienated so many people who worked with him and for him that there was so much bad feeling over here. And it was only a long time after his death that he's sort of been fully appreciated. There's been an excellent TV play on last year, the Curse of Comedy season. Ken Stott played it. It was a very dark sort of take on Hancock. But I don't know. I hope, fingers crossed, if I might sort of jog somebody to have a think about it if they watch this. Hopefully if I do a reasonably good job today.
So how exactly are you planning on spending the hour?
I have a rough outline. I'd like to try and engage whatever crowd there is out there. I'd like to try and engage you guys in the office, because he's the kind of guy who would totally complain at whatever situation he was in. I will be demanding to speak to Anthony Gormley on the phone. It's all right, I've got my own phone. And I will be complaining a lot, in typical Bish fashion. In character, I do promise.
And are you wanting to engage with the public?
I hope so, yes.
Yeah.
Hancock was always a very, very quick to take offence, very, very defensive, very, if anyone sort of looked at him cross-eyed, he would always find a reason to take offence, and he would always find a reason to sort of have a go at somebody if somebody wasn't showing him the sort of the respect that he was entitled to. I'm trying to think of a line from any one of his shows that I can think of. I mean, the best line is, of course, when he's having a go at the doctor in the blood donor episode, and you've got the very famous line, sort of, doctor takes a blood sample, just scratches his finger, and Hancock thinks it's all over there. Thank you very much, I'll leave you then. Where are you going, Mr. Hancock? Well, you've had me blood. I'm going to have me tea and biscuits now. That's just a scratch. It may be just a scratch to you, mate. It's life and death to some poor soul. It's that kind of thing. So that kind of thing, really. I'm honestly going to have to a great degree, as just about everybody who's been up on the plinth, I think. I'm going to have to take it as it comes.
Yeah. That was a really great impression. So how did you... how did you learn... I mean, did you just teach yourself?
I think, like the Alan Bennett I did a bit of, it's all listening. It's all having an ear for voices. I'm told I'm a reasonably good mimic. And I've got a good ear for voices, and I've got a good ear for accents and things like that. So it's, you just pick things like that up. And I've been listening to him and watching his stuff since I was a kid. So it's if you've got an impression of what the voice is like up there in your head, it sort of comes across.
And when you're in character, you're acting, you find it quite hard to kind of keep the line between yourself and your character.
In this case, doing the plinth, I think it's going to be a good idea to be in character, because it will keep my mind off the fact that I'm 40 feet up and I'm not a fan of heights. So I shall be using the character to just keep totally focused on what I've got to do. In any acting job, you do have to keep totally focused. And, you know, doubly so today in this situation.
Yeah. And ultimately, what kind of experience are you wanting to get out of today?
I have absolutely no idea. I really haven't, which is what makes it so exciting. I'm really just... It's unlike anything I've ever done, any kind of performance, any kind of play or characterisation. It's unlike anything I've ever been involved in, and it's very, very, very exciting.
Yeah. Can I briefly ask a little bit about where you're from?
Sure. Stoke-on-Trent, the Potteries, North Midlands. I'm a Potteries lad, born and bred. I teach drama up there. It's I'm very proud of where I'm from. It's not a particularly pretty part of the country, although we're surrounded by pretty countryside. Stokes is where all the big old pottery factories, well, used to be. They're one by one. They seem to be kind of dropping off now. But it's a city that's got a very, very strong tradition of performers and performance. Oh, Robbie Williams is from Stoke. I used to rehearse for an operatic society, and we used to drink at a pub called the Red Lion in Burslem, which is one of the six towns of Stoke-on-Trent, and that was Robbie Williams' dad's pub. So young Robbie, while I was having my drink after rehearsals, was upstairs in his bedroom practicing his impressions, one can only assume. But yeah, so it's kind of an ugly city, but it's got a really beautiful tradition of nurturing and encouraging performers. And you know, as a teacher of performing arts, hopefully, I hope, fingers crossed, I'm part of that.
Yeah. Do you know why? What is the reason for the kind of strength in the performance arts?
I don't know. It's kind of like, I think, the male voice choirs down in South Wales, or the brass bands up in Yorkshire and Lancashire. It's a tradition, and it's a great, because it's a family tradition. You get generations of families belong to the same dramatic society or operatic society. I don't know really, but it's just the way it's grown up.
And you used to act. What do you now do?
Now I teach, try and do a bit of writing. I don't miss the acting that much, to be honest. Not the professional acting. I do amateur stuff in my spare time still. Now I just get a lot of the satisfaction out of teaching.
And just very briefly about your hour slot. what are your hopes, fears, expectations?
To survive, for one thing, I've got family watching, so not to make too much of a mess of it, to hopefully interact with the crowd, to make folks laugh. I'm a huge, huge comedy fan of everything from Hancock all the way through to The Office, Mighty Boosh, all that kind of stuff. I love comedy, and I really get a real show-offs kind of buzz from making people laugh.
Great. Thank you so much. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, not at all.